Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After Midnight.
For 15 years, the old brick apartment building had been as much a part of his life as his own home. Built in the late 1920s, it sat on the same downtown corner where it had stood for nearly a century, quietly outlasting newer apartment complexes that promised modern conveniences, but somehow lacked the warmth and personality of the older place. Its hardwood floors had been refinished more than once, the plaster walls were still solid, and the original woodwork had survived generations of tenants. People didn't choose the building because it was the newest place in town. They chose it because it felt like home the moment they walked through the front door. It also had a reputation for being one of the best-managed apartment buildings in town, something he took a great deal of pride in. The owners believed that if they took care of the property, the residents would take care of it too, and after working for them as long as he had, he'd found that to be true. Repairs weren't ignored, maintenance wasn't postponed, and if something needed replacing, they replaced it instead of trying to squeeze another year or two out of it. It was one of the reasons people stayed for so long, and one of the reasons he'd never been tempted to look for another job. After 15 years, the building had become a community as much as an apartment house. He knew nearly everyone who lived there. Some tenants had moved in before he'd ever picked up a set of master keys, while others had arrived as newlyweds and were now raising teenagers in the same apartments. He'd watched children grow up, helped older residents carry groceries when they insisted they didn't need help, and spent countless mornings talking with tenants in the hallway before finally getting around to whatever repair had brought him there in the first place. It wasn't unusual for a 5-minute maintenance call to turn into a 15-minute conversation about grandchildren, fishing, or last night's ball game. Most days began the same way. He unlocked the maintenance shop, poured himself a cup of coffee, and looked over the work orders waiting on his desk. Some mornings were nothing but small jobs: a dripping faucet, a loose cabinet hinge, a smoke detector that refused to stop chirping. Other days were devoted to larger projects that kept him inside one apartment for hours. He enjoyed both because solving problems was simply part of who he was. Most things that seemed mysterious to other people eventually came down to a worn gasket, a tripped breaker, settling wood, or a part that had simply reached the end of its life. That practical way of looking at things also shaped how he responded whenever someone hinted that the building might be haunted. Every now and then, a tenant mentioned hearing footsteps overhead when nobody lived upstairs, or they swore a door had opened on its own during the night. Someone else might complain about strange noises coming from the walls after dark. He never laughed at them or suggested they were imagining things, but he'd worked in old buildings long enough to know how many odd sounds they could make. Steam pipes expanded, hardwood floors creaked, doors shifted with changes in humidity, and echoes traveled through walls in surprising ways. Given enough time, almost every complaint turned out to have a perfectly ordinary explanation. There was only one thing he had never quite explained to himself. Apartment 12. There was nothing unusual about the apartment itself. It had the same layout as the others on that side of the building, the same hardwood floors, the same tall windows overlooking the street, and the same steady demand whenever it became available. If someone toured it for the first time, there wasn't a single feature that would make them think it was any different from the other apartments in the building. The pattern wasn't in the apartment, it was in the people who lived there. He hadn't noticed it right away. It was only after several years that he realized he seemed to be getting apartment 12 ready for new tenants more often than any other unit in the building. At first, he dismissed the thought because people moved every day for perfectly ordinary reasons. They bought homes, accepted jobs in other cities, got married, got divorced, or simply wanted a change of scenery. Working maintenance had taught him not to read too much into any one person's decision to leave. Even so, the pattern quietly continued. Most residents renewed their leases without giving it much thought. 6 months became a year became three, and before long they'd become part of the building's extended family. Apartment 12 never seemed to follow that path. Sometimes a tenant would stay close to a year, but sooner or later, the apartment would be empty again, waiting for someone new to carry furniture through its front door, Over the years, he'd heard a handful of comments from people who had lived there. One person mentioned hearing someone walking through the apartment late at night. Another said doors seemed to open more often than they should. A young couple admitted they never felt completely comfortable in the bedroom, though neither of them could explain why. He checked the doors, inspected the windows, tightened loose hardware, and made sure everything worked exactly the way it should. As far as he was concerned, he'd done his job. Whatever else people believed was up to them. That afternoon, apartment 12 was vacant once again. The previous tenants had left the place in good condition, leaving behind little more than a few nail holes that needed patching, a bedroom wall that required fresh paint, and a closet shelf that had worked itself loose over the years. The younger maintenance technician had gone across town to pick up supplies for another project, leaving him to finish the apartment on his own before the leasing office began showing it to prospective tenants later in the week. He gathered a hammer, a box of finish nails, a few hand tools, and the rest of the supplies he'd need for the afternoon, unlocked apartment 12, and let himself inside. There was nothing about the place that suggested this afternoon would be any different from the dozens of other times he'd worked there over the years. Apartment 12 was as quiet as every other vacant apartment he'd worked in over the years, and he expected the afternoon to be routine. The previous tenants had taken good care of the place, leaving behind little more than a few nail holes to patch, a bedroom wall that needed fresh paint, and a closet shelf that had worked itself loose over time. Compared to some turnovers he'd handled over the years, this one was about as easy as they came. And if everything went according to plan, the leasing office would be showing it to prospective tenants before the end of the week. He worked through the apartment the same way he always had, finishing one job before moving on to the next. The bedroom came first, followed by the loose baseboard in the hallway, and then the closet shelf that needed to be rehung before he could call the apartment finished. It was familiar work, the kind he could almost do without thinking after spending 15 years in the building. When it came time to rehang the shelf, he carried everything he needed into the hallway outside the bedroom and set it on a sturdy built-in shelf. His hammer, a small box of finish nails, and a couple of other hand tools sat neatly together while he stepped into the closet to look at the brackets. After taking a quick measurement, he reached for the tape measure clipped to his belt before realizing it wasn't there. He smiled and shook his head. He'd left it in the maintenance cart downstairs. It wasn't the first time he'd done that, and it certainly wouldn't be the last. Locking the apartment behind him, he headed downstairs, unlocked the cart, grabbed the tape measure, and climbed the stairs again, already thinking ahead to the rest of the afternoon. If he finished on time, he could probably knock out another small work order before heading home. As soon as he stepped back inside apartment 12, he heard something strike the hardwood floor. The sound was sharp but brief, and he recognized it immediately as metal hitting wood. Without giving it another thought, he assumed the hammer had slipped off the shelf. He'd probably set it closer to the edge than he'd realized, and gravity had done the rest. That explanation made perfect sense, at least until he walked around the corner. The hammer was lying on the hallway floor, just as he'd expected, but the small box of finish nails had somehow come open, scattering nails in every direction. Some had rolled into the bedroom doorway. Others had spread across the hallway, and a handful rested against the baseboard several feet away. He stopped where he was, studying the scene for a moment before setting the tape measure on the floor. The hammer falling wasn't strange. The nails were. He distinctly remembered placing the box beside the hammer instead of on top of it. It was something he'd done deliberately because he'd learned long ago that stacking things was a good way to knock everything onto the floor. A paint scraper he'd left beside them hadn't moved at all, and nothing else on the shelf appeared to be out of place. He crouched and began picking up the nails one by one, occasionally glancing back toward the shelf as he tried to reconstruct what had happened. The shelf wasn't loose, it wasn't tilted, and there was nothing about it that suggested the box should have fallen. Even after gathering the last nail and placing everything back where it belonged, he couldn't picture a sequence of events that explained why only those two items had ended up on the floor. Eventually, he convinced himself he must have remembered it wrong. Maybe the box had been closer to the edge than he thought. He placed the box several inches farther back on the shelf, picked up the tape measure, and went back to work. The apartment settled into silence again as he measured the shelf, leveled the brackets, and drove the first few nails into place. It was the kind of quiet he'd experienced hundreds of times in empty apartments, broken only by the occasional tap of a hammer or the distant sounds that naturally carried through an old building. Then he heard footsteps. They were slow, steady, and close enough that he assumed someone had walked into the apartment. Without turning around, he called out that he was almost finished and would be out of the way in another couple of minutes. He expected to hear the younger maintenance technician answer, or at least continue walking toward the bedroom. Instead, the footsteps stopped. The silence that followed lasted only a few seconds, but it was long enough to make him look up from his work. He set the hammer down, stepped out of the closet, and glanced toward the living room, expecting to find someone standing there waiting for him. The apartment was empty. He walked through each room anyway. More out of habit than concern, the kitchen was empty. The bathroom was empty. The front door remained closed, and when he reached it, he found it still locked exactly as he'd left it before going downstairs. Standing there in the middle of the living room, he listened for another sound. Nothing. After a few moments, he returned to the bedroom, telling himself exactly what he'd told tenants for years. Old buildings had a way of carrying sounds that didn't always come from where you thought they did. Someone in another apartment had probably walked across a hardwood floor at just the right moment, and the acoustics had done the rest. It was a perfectly reasonable explanation. For the first time in 15 years, though, it didn't feel quite as convincing as it once had. He finished the shelf, gathered his things, and locked apartment 12 behind him. By the time he drove home that evening, he had already started trying to explain away what had happened. The hammer falling wasn't difficult to understand, but the nails continued to bother him. He could still picture exactly where he'd left the box on the shelf, and every time he replayed it in his mind, he came to the same conclusion. He hadn't set the box on top of the hammer, and nothing else on the shelf had moved. The footsteps stayed with him, too, not because they sounded frightening, but because they sounded so completely ordinary. He would have sworn someone had walked into the apartment while he was working in the closet. He'd answered without even turning around because there had been no reason to think anything unusual was happening. It was only afterward, when he found the apartment empty and the front door still locked, that the moment began to settle in differently. He didn't tell anyone about it. There wasn't much to tell, really. A hammer had fallen. He'd heard footsteps. Neither one by itself sounded particularly remarkable, and together they still weren't enough to convince him that something paranormal had happened. If anything, he found himself becoming annoyed that he couldn't come up with an explanation that completely satisfied him. Life in the building continued exactly as it always had. Work orders piled up every morning, longtime tenants stopped him in the hallway to ask how things were going, and the familiar rhythm of the building carried on without interruption. Apartment 12 was rented again within a couple of weeks, and before long, another couple had pictures hanging on the walls and flowers sitting in the front window. He found himself working in that apartment a few times over the following months. One visit was for a dripping faucet. Another was to replace a bathroom exhaust fan. There was nothing unusual about any of those service calls, and the tenants never mentioned strange noises or unexplained experiences. Every visit ended the same way it always had. He finished the repair, exchanged a few friendly words, and moved on to the next apartment. For a while, he thought perhaps he'd simply made more of that afternoon than he should have. Then, almost 6 months later, he happened to glance at the upcoming lease renewals sitting on the property manager's desk. Apartment 12 was on the list. The tenants weren't renewing. He looked at the date twice before realizing 6 months had already passed. It seemed impossible that they'd been there that long, yet there it was in black and white. Another tenant was moving out, just as so many others had before them, and he never asked why. People moved every day for reasons that had nothing to do with ghosts or strange experiences, and he wasn't about to start inventing explanations where none existed. Maybe they had bought a house. Maybe one of them had accepted a job somewhere else. Maybe they simply wanted a change. Still, as he walked upstairs to begin getting apartment 12 ready once again, he couldn't help noticing that he seemed to be making that same walk more often than he did for any other apartment in the building. The place was clean, just as the previous tenants had left it. There were a few nail holes to patch, some scuff marks to paint over. and the usual list of small repairs that came with preparing any apartment for its next residence. Standing in the hallway, he found himself looking toward the shelf where his hammer had fallen months earlier. It hadn't moved. It was still solid, still level, and there wasn't a thing about it that suggested the box of nails should ever have ended up scattered across the floor. He finished the work without another unusual incident. Nothing fell, nothing moved. When he locked apartment 12 that afternoon, it looked exactly the way every freshly prepared apartment should. Within another week, someone else would carry boxes through the front door, arrange furniture in the living room, and begin making the place their own. Years have passed since that afternoon, and he still works in the same building. He still believes old buildings creak, pipes make strange noises, and most things people call paranormal have perfectly ordinary explanations once you take the time to investigate them. In 15 years, that philosophy served him well more often than not. But every now and then, when someone casually mentions hearing footsteps or says an apartment just doesn't feel quite right, he no longer dismisses the comment before hearing the rest of the story. He listens, not because he's convinced the building is haunted, but because one quiet afternoon, in apartment 12 left him with a question he has never been able to answer.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.